You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Although we are Pete Schwabe-less tonight. He is out this evening. He has a family engagement he is partaking in. So you've got me, Greg Bach, at the boards right here. I don't know why I'm talking like that, Dom. That's Dom Lee in Madison, by the way. He's here being my extra special friend because it's just me this evening. How are you doing this evening, Dom?
Doing pretty good. My role is now Pete, right? Is that what we discussed?
You know what? I'm saying nothing here because I'm pretty new here on this program as well, and I'm not about to put myself in the way of like, no, you
it'll
nope,
be, yeah.
I say nothing else. Dom is the guy on the ones and twos in Madison tonight. He is the tech producer, and that's all I'm going to say, but we're very happy that you are with us this evening. Even though we are Pete-less, if you will, this evening, he is in our hearts, and he'll be back next week. We got a great show for you this evening. After the 5:30 news, we are talking to Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson. We're going to be talking about his story, his history in the city, what he does as the mayor, as well as the things he's been working on, both the achievements as well as things he still wants to get done, and just what it's like to be the mayor of the most populous city in the state and what that, you know, the double-edged sword of blessing and curse it can bring. So that will be after the 5:30 news. And then at 6 o'clock in the second hour, we will be talking to Dr. Richard C. Kelly, who is the Robert Terrell Professor and Chair of Medical History and Bioethics at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, talking about the environment, talking about some important environmental issues that have taken place. Trump administration repealed some important findings, and that's going to have major effects both on business, on personal, as well as Wisconsin on the whole. We'll be talking to him at the top of the second hour. And then in the 6:35, we'll be talking about the question of the day. What's the question of the day? Well, I'm glad you asked. Play the music. The question of the night, this is in celebration of National Retro Day. It is, what is your favorite device before the invention of the cell phone? Again, what was your favorite device before the invention of the cell phone? You can text that in but via the Civic Media app. Get that on your phone or your tablet. You can also text it in via your phone. You can call in 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's we're on the live stream right now. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. So let us know your thoughts in the celebration of National Retro Day. What is your favorite device before the invention of the cell phone? And I'm interested to know what I don't know if Dom actually will have an answer for this because I feel like the cell phone is older than you are.
It is, but I do have an answer. I do have an answer for it.
And, okay, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that later on in the show. And then we'll round the show off this evening with, of course, a handy tip from Greg about a brand new food stuff product that's coming out next month. Has nothing to do with St. Patrick's Day, but it has everything to do with just making good choices on what you buy from what restaurants. So that will be the program this evening. And Dom, how are you doing this evening? What's going on?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited for the weekend. You know, I'm ready. I made a really good Alfredo pasta yesterday that I'm so excited to have after the show.
You made the pasta yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Did you not eat it yesterday, or you made it? You're like, I'm making this for tomorrow.
I'm making it for, and that's exactly what I had in mind. I didn't have it yesterday. I decided I'm gonna go hard on the leftovers. And I have like two or three. I'm going to have them tonight, have one tomorrow, and maybe even have some Alfredo pasta on Sunday as well. So I'm excited. I'm ready to go.
And you're getting more, and we've talked about this before, you're getting more and more into cooking too. You're becoming more like, and you've gotten into pasta. That's becoming your thing, correct? Like,
yes.
A lot of guys get into beer. They want to like drink beer, make beer, know about beer, talk about beer at an annoying length, some of my friends at parties, but you're getting into cooking, and specifically you're enjoying pasta.
Yes, yes. I haven't been able to make my own specific noodles, but I am starting to get more and more in I'm releasing my knowledge to the world that I'm ready to go. I'm ready to make this pasta happen.
You're gonna will it into existence. You're like a pasta maker in your house, and you're gonna start making just a delicious, delectable pasta.
Yeah, and my parents are like, "All right, you know, Dominic, you're 22. It's time for you to start making your own food." And I was like, "You know what? You're right. You're right. I got to start doing this." And over the past few months, you're right, Greg. I've started to make my own food.
Most parents want their kids to learn how to cook. Just at the very least, they're like, "Just learn how to make a sandwich." Even tearing the plastic off of a TV dinner is a step in the right direction. You're like, no, thank you, parents. I will learn to make my own food from scratch. I shall hunt and fish and then create my own pastas and sauces. And you'll just, it'll be one day, it will be Dom's last day here at Civic Media because he's opening his own restaurant.
That's the plan. And I told my parents that too. So if your mom and dad, if you're listening, be proud of me. All right. I'm making my own stuff.
This is just all this whole episode today is just about Dom's parents. Mr. and Mrs. Lee, please be proud of Dominic. That's all we ask. That's all we ask right now. Thank you very much. Well, I'm glad. I mean, you know, maybe one of these days, you know, I'll come up to Madison and I'll bring something. I'll bring a bottle of wine and you can make some pasta and we can do a show. Ooh. In Madison. Ooh. While enjoying pasta. That will sound amazing. Tony Zimmerman on the live stream says, "Welcome to Pasta Hour with Dom Lee." I am here for it. I think that's the thing now. If Pete's not here, we just talk about pasta for 2 full hours.
I would be okay with it.
I don't know if anyone else would. But speaking of don't know what anyone else would be okay with, it's time for, I don't know, that was a terrible segue, but it's time for the top three stories of the evening. Dom, hit that first one, please. Oh, yeah. All right. This is out of Marquette today. The new Marquette poll finds that a large majority of Wisconsin voters undecided on candidates for state Supreme Court and governor. I read this and I thought to myself, yeah, dadoy. I mean, this is where we're at every time we have an election. We are still in February. I know we're basically in March. We're 2 days away from March, but there's still a solid month before the spring election. There is still many months before the fall election. So the fact that people aren't really decided on this is not that surprising at all. The Marquette Law School poll came out and said that less than 2 months from the Supreme Court election, about 2/3 of voters say they are undecided. And they will be getting decided because in the next month, you will see commercials. I mean, there are already commercials and whatnot, but I judge the ramp up by how many ads I get in my mail. And if you guys want to let me know, if you guys are already getting that stuff in your mailboxes, you know, the mailers, seeing commercials, let me know. Because I know this is something that really gets on people's nerves. Like when we get closer and closer to an election, people are like, I swear to God, I've worked in campaigns, Dom. Mm-hmm. I've had people say to me, if you say to me one more thing about the election, I'll vote for the other person. That's how, yeah, exactly. People will get that sick and tired of election discussion. That's how much they are annoyed with it. So I just want people to make up their minds and be okay with it and do their thing. We'll be talking somewhat about it over the next few months. We're dedicating tons of time, but we will be talking about the election because it's very, very important. And if you want to let me know, are you already getting mailers in your inbox? Are you already getting calls on your phone or text messages? That's one thing, too. We get a lot of text messages for those elections. Also says the large field of Democratic candidates for governor have no clear leader. Most candidates are unknown to many voters, have turned against data centers. That's something that, you know, we're seeing a lot of. We talked a lot about that, that as people become more and more understanding of the data centers here in the state, they are like, no, thank you. They're going to meetings. They're having their conversations. They're standing up and they're talking to their leaders. And it's really great to see people engaging in that part of the process. But as we know, as we can see, people are undecided at this point. No big surprise, but you will be seeing a swath of information coming your way via text, via the mail, all that good stuff. But that is the new finding from the Marquette Law Poll. Now let's move on to the next big story. This is out of Pitchfork, and I can't actually read the headline because I will get in trouble with both my bosses and the FCC. I will simply say, Radiohead to Ice, go F yourselves. So apparently, and this is nothing new, Radiohead has shared a brief statement addressing the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, that is ICE, after they've been using their song Let Down on an Instagram reel. And this is something, I don't know about you, Dom, I've seen so many things from politicians doing this before. And I looked this up when, you know, politicians or administrations or specifically elections, when they use music from artists they do not get their permission from and they say, please stop playing our music. We will sue you into oblivion if you keep playing our music. And I know that for a fact because this week, Isaac Hayes, the estate of Isaac Hayes, settled a lawsuit accusing Trump of using unauthorized songs. And on top of that, I found a story on Axios that said there are 15 celebrities blasting Trump for using his music. I don't understand. We do this every single time. We see people using the music and these artists coming out and saying, please stop doing this. Please stop using our music. We will sue you. And I don't understand why. I guess the headline is worth it to them and they can pay the money. They can, you know, obviously they can settle the, they can settle out of court with the family of Mr. Isaac Hayes. But I just find that very interesting that they continually do that. And also Radiohead. Radiohead. I mean, if you're going to, I mean, like, I feel like Kid Rock would sign over his entire discography to you. Be like, here, play it all. Do it to it. There's that one rapper guy from Canada. I think his name is Tom Johnson.
Or Drake. Yeah.
Drake. Well, no, actually, what's funny is that Drake, this is how much I know about the music of the youths, is that Drake was supposed to be coming out with a new record, and I think it was supposed to be called Iceman, and he's changing the names because he does not want any sort of correlation with what's going on. And I think that's very, very smart on Mr. Drake's behalf. But yeah, I don't think Drake is signing over his, no, totally different Canadian rapper. Sorry, but I didn't realize that the lane of Canadian rappers was so small.
Not
that
a lot
you,
of
it was Drake and that Tom Johnson guy. But this is just, I find this very, very interesting that that continually these artists have to tell these people, stop using our music. And they just keep on doing it anyways because they don't seem to care. But that is our second story. We're actually going to save our third story for the other side of the break. We're going to be celebrating the legacy of a singer-songwriter legend that we lost just today, actually. But more with that when we come back from the break. Do not forget, after the 5:30 news, we are going to be talking to Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson right here on the show live. And then in the second hour, we'll be speaking to Dr. Richard C. Keller from UW-Madison about environmental policies. And then question of the day, tip of the day. We got a whole great show for you. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to us on the Civic Media Network. You can also get in touch with us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter, but don't go anywhere. Still more to come on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. We are Pete-less tonight, but it's me and Dom here for you. Stay tuned and stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. We are here on the Civic Media Network. We are currently Pete-less tonight. He is out this evening. He will be back on Monday, so don't you worry. He sent me a message, and he misses you. So it's me, Greg Bach, here in Radio Park in Racine, as well as Dom Lee in Madison on the ones and twos. You can always be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855 75 Civic. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead, a conversation with Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson after the 5:30 news. And then in the second hour, we were talking to Dr. Richard C. Keller about environmental policy, specifically having to do with the Trump administration. But that's all coming ahead. Don't go anywhere. We are happy that you are here with us tonight. And before we go anywhere else, it's time to talk about the third important story of the night. Legendary singer-songwriter Neil Sedaka has died at the age of 86. This was reported about an hour or so ago. He was, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's responsible for about 150 million records between the songs he and other artists recorded. I mean, breaking up is hard to do. Bad Blood, Laughter in the Rain, Calendar Girl, those are like his top ones, but he has got dozens of others. And the story of this guy is absolutely amazing. He was 86 years old. And also feel free, I've been seeing it come through on the live stream, send us your favorite songs from him. And it doesn't have to be his songs. It'd be songs he wrote for other people, because they not only go through the genres of pop, doo-wop, rock, they also span the decades. Because the coolest thing about this man's story is that he started off in doo-wop. He started off as a 50s doo-wop singer in high school with his friends, and he then went solo, and he became famous through singing, through songwriting, and then he went through a time of not being as popular. And then over time, people who were younger than him loved him so much. Like one of his biggest fans was Elton John. And because of Elton John, he got a job, got signed to his label, Rocket Records. I think that it's very, very cool, this story. And I would actually watch a documentary about this man's life. He was a Brooklyn native. He was a veteran of the legendary Brill Building. If you don't know what that is a hit factory building from the early 60s that included such people as Neil Diamond, Carole King, himself. I mean, the amount of songwriters that came out of the Brill Building is unparalleled. There are so many hits that came out of that building alone. But he wrote for all sorts of artists throughout the years, and he will be absolutely missed. I'm sure over the next few days, we will see lots of tributes to him. Again, that's Mr. Neil Sedaka, died at the age of 86. Dom, were you aware of him at all? Were you a fan of his? Let me ask this question. Mm-hmm. Songs that you hear now, you didn't know they were his, and you're like, oh yeah, I know that song. And that's kind of how it is with him and people like the Bee Gees and the Beatles. You hear tunes, and you're like, oh, I had no idea they wrote that.
Yes. With Neil, I had no idea who he was before, about an hour before we started. And then you told me him. I looked some of the songs up, knew almost all of the songs that he had. So he was very popular, very, very well loved too.
Absolutely. Roger in Stevens Point says Neil was the only recording artist to have had top 20 singles in each of the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s. Wow. And that's not including the amount of hits he wrote for other people. That is just absolutely amazing. So I just I hope that you can go and celebrate Mr. Neil Sedaka, his life and legacy, because I think he is one of the best songwriters in this country ever, period. But gone at the age of 86. We're gonna play music throughout the evening celebrating his legacy, whether it's his songs or other people's songs. But yeah, it's I did not realize until I read some articles this afternoon that he also didn't know this. So apparently he was raised with an aptitude in music, took piano lessons at a very young age, and he went to Juilliard, their kids' school, their preparatory division, and then went through Juilliard throughout his teens. So he was just, very well trained to do what he needed to do. Roger also goes on to say, Neil posted on his Facebook singing one of his songs just 3 days ago. He still looked and sounded great. And that's the other thing, too, is his family did say that they are shocked by it. He was 86, but they were shocked. So it seems like this may have been sudden. And that sucks for them. I know it's a very basic statement, but it's true. I mean, it was a 6-decade career that he was nominated for 5 Grammy Awards, including one at the second ever edition of the show in 1959. He was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame, and he received a star on the Walk of Fame as well in 1978. I'm going to probably put on a lot of his music this week, and I'll probably be dancing around the house because he provided, some of these tunes. He wrote a song for his friend Carole King, who he dated, a song called Oh Carol, and she wrote a song called O'Neill for him. He wrote a song called Stairway to Heaven, not The Stairway to Heaven. Calendar Girl, Little Devil, Happy Birthday, Sweet 16. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So it's quite a loss. And that's unfortunate that it's apparently, according to Roger, he was looking good a couple of days ago. So we'll find out what happened. But yeah, big, sending big condolences, memories, our hearts and love to Mr. Neil Sedaka and his family for the loss at the age of 86. We'll be playing more of his music throughout the show. But don't you go anywhere, folks. When we come back, we're going to be talking to the mayor of Milwaukee, Mr. Cavalier Johnson, here on Nightlight, talking about his story, talking about what he does as mayor in the city, and just, you know, the blessings and the curses, the challenges of being mayor in Milwaukee. More about that when we come back. And also in the second hour, we'll be talking to Dr. Richard C. Keller about environmental policy here in Wisconsin, as well as around the country. But don't go anywhere. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. We are Pete-less this evening, but don't worry. Me and Dom are here. We got you taken care of. Again, the question of the night is, what is your favorite technological invention before the invention of the cell phone? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to us on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned and stay close. Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. My name is Greg Bach. We are currently Pete-less tonight. He will be back on Monday, so don't go anywhere. He'll be back, and we are happy you're joining us this evening. If you ever want to be part of the conversation, you can call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, the platform we still call Twitter. Do not forget tonight's question of the evening. What is your favorite device before the invention of the cell phone in celebration of National Retro Day? And after the 6 o'clock news, we are talking to Dr. Richard C. Keller from UW-Madison about environmental policy. So don't go anywhere. Great show still lined up ahead of you right now. I'm very excited to bring in our first guest for the evening. He is the mayor of Milwaukee. His first time on our program, Mayor Cavalier Johnson is here. Good afternoon, Mayor. How are you today?
I'm doing all right, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you so much for being here this evening. We wanted to bring on the mayors and the politicians of municipalities to talk about, you know, what they do for the people, the daily business of whatnot, and getting people familiar with who helps make the decisions that directly affect us. And I wanted to start very basic and very simple with your story. Tell us about you and what led you to the mayor's office in the most populous city in Wisconsin.
Sure, and thank you for that. So I didn't necessarily know that I was going to be the mayor. The reason that I got here was sort of twofold. When I was 14 years old, I had gotten involved in a program with the YMCA here called Sponsor a Scholar. And the goal of that program was sort of twofold. It was to get kids from low-income families in Milwaukee public schools. And I grew up in the 53206 zip code, the poorest, most incarcerated zip code in the state of Wisconsin. And the goal was to get those kids off to college. I went to UW-Madison, became the first person in my family to attend and graduate college. The other part of that program was to get those same kids involved in community service. And I fell in love with giving back, with helping people throughout our city. So I'd help seniors to rake leaves, shovel snow, you know, feed the homeless, you know, all that sort of stuff. I loved it. Mm-hmm. Later on that year, after I got involved with the Y program, 9/11 happened. And I saw, you know, President Bush at the time, you know, go to New York City and try to, you know, bring Americans together after that horrible terrorist attack on our country. And I knew right then and there that I could go into government and have a career where I helped people and brought people together, like I saw the president at the time doing. And I never, you know, looked back. So I started at, you know, 14 years old, trying to work my way up. And ultimately now I'm the mayor and started this job at 35 years old. I'm 39 years old today.
Today?
No, I mean, like, now.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, we got you on your birthday? Amazing. Well, you know, I mean, happy birthday. belated eventually. There you go. So you've been in office for almost 4 years now, and I want you to speak on, you know, what do you feel like your biggest achievements have been since you've taken over the office for the mayor? You know, what have you worked to get accomplished in the 4 years so far?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a number of big accomplishments and small ones too that I'm really, really proud of since I've been able to serve as mayor, as you said, as the most populous, you know, city in the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, one of the first things I sought out to do and knew that we had to do when I came into office was to reset the relationship that this city has with state government. Because whether I like it or not, I mean, the legislature mm-hmm. is what it is. I'm a huge supporter and friend of our Governor Tony Evers, and so we had a working relationship already. But we had to change the relationship. And so we did. We went in there. The city was facing fiscal calamity, and it had been for several decades. And so we worked with the legislature, with the governor, in order to get more resources to the city of Milwaukee so we wouldn't fall off of a fiscal cliff, sort of similar to what we saw years ago in Detroit. So I was very, very proud of that accomplishment. Northwestern Mutual, one of the biggest companies, not just in Milwaukee, but in the state of Wisconsin, is moving several thousand employees into the city over the course of the next year or so as they complete a $500 million investment in downtown Milwaukee. Mm. Pfizer, if you've got a credit card or debit card in your pocket, you probably have some Pfizer technology on your person as it is.
Yeah.
Their global headquarters was seeking a new home. They could have gone out east where their CEO sits in New York or New Jersey. Large office presence in Atlanta and Omaha. I worked with them to retain that office here in Wisconsin and their downtown in Milwaukee. Public safety had been an issue here in the city, remains to be an issue here and other places around the country. But since I've been mayor, with our approach on accountability and prevention, we've been able to cut crime in Milwaukee by about 25% since I've been mayor. So a lot of really, really big things that have happened in the city of Milwaukee since I've been mayor that I'm very, very proud of.
And so looking down the road, what are the things that you're still working on, the things you want to see accomplished? You know, I'm not saying you're making an announcement of what you're doing next as far as your career, but those things that are on your things to do list, sitting on your desk saying, these are the big points I need to keep going on and working with the community and the legislature. What are those things that you're still looking at for the city?
Yeah, I'm always interested in growing additional resources for the city of Milwaukee. In fact, our successful venture out to Madison to get more revenue for us resulted in more revenue for other communities across the state of Wisconsin too. So if Milwaukee does well that way, then other cities, other jurisdictions across Wisconsin tend to do well that way too. I want to continue to drive down crime in Milwaukee. We've really tackled it since I've been mayor, again, with that approach of accountability and prevention, saying that if somebody commits an act of death, harm, or destruction, then they need to be held to account. But then on the flip side of that, like, I don't want for people to be in a position to commit a crime in the first place. And so we built out a program called Camp Rise, where we're working with kids and mentoring kids as young as 10. We're the only big city in the United States doing a workforce development program with kids as young as 10, just by way of some of the work that we're doing. So we want to continue to build out those things. Another thing that I think is really, really important for us is building out tourism as an economic driver in Milwaukee. Certainly a few years ago, we hosted the Republican National Convention. We had won the Democratic National Convention in 2020. So back-to-back Milwaukee was on the national spotlight for that. I want to do more big things in Milwaukee that way. We made an investment just a couple of years ago, I did, to grow our cruise ship industry here in Milwaukee. That's right. We're like the Miami of the Midwest. With some of the biggest cruise ships on the Great Lakes, they come here to our city. We're a turnaround port for them, and we're going to shatter those records this year. And tourism and hospitality is key to that. So I want to grow our economy, continue to address things on crime, and worry about quality of life issues that folks in Milwaukee care about.
And if you're just joining us right now on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach, we are Pete-less tonight. It's me, Greg Bach, here with you this evening. We're talking to Mayor of Milwaukee, Cavalier Johnson. You said something interesting about the crime rates. When you go out into the public, we have such a divisive world. The news says everything all the time, all at once. And people tend to think crime is on the rise everywhere all the time. But as we see, crime is lowering. And in Milwaukee, that's been the case. When you go out to the public, when you go out to the people, How do you approach those conversations when folks just want to throw crime statistics or things they've heard somewhere on a place, whether it's social media, on a 24-hour news network, but you have the information in front of you? How do you approach those folks to say, here's the truth, here's what we've done, here's what we can do better, and have that conversation rooted in truth?
Yeah, the way that I do it is with truth and with data and do it consistently. So when I became mayor, knowing that public safety is something that folks in Milwaukee care about and are concerned about, as they rightfully should be, I said, okay, what we're going to do is go before the people every quarter and tell them exactly what's going on with public safety. We have been probably the most transparent administration in this city as it relates to public safety in Milwaukee. So myself, the police chief, the district attorney, the leader of our Department of Community Wellness and Safety, we will go out each and every single quarter and tell the people, the visitors, the tourists, the commuters, exactly what it is as it relates to crime statistics in Milwaukee over the course of the last 3 months. We don't sugarcoat it. We just give them the facts, the data, our plans for the future, what they can do in order to help us to continue to drive down crime. So that's the way that we approach it. We tell the truth and we present the data, and we do it every single quarter.
As we mentioned before, you are the mayor of Milwaukee, the most populous city in Wisconsin. I feel that, you know, I lived in Milwaukee for 20 years. I'm a southeastern Wisconsin kid, born and raised in this area. I have a lot of love for that city. And I feel, you know, Milwaukee is easily taken to become political fodder for politicians and other folks in the news, running for office, whatever they're doing. They can use Milwaukee always as the example. And when you hear that, again, how do you have those conversations with folks, maybe even outside of Milwaukee, or as you said before, with legislators, when you're trying to broker deals, who have this mindset about Milwaukee, however they've been fed? You have to go in and say, no, this is Milwaukee, and this is how what we do affects you as well. How do you approach those conversations to sort of get people off of their generalized ideas of the city?
Yeah, I mean, I think for a lot of folks, you know, Milwaukee is a thing that's kind of over there. It's been painted for decades as this big boogeyman that you can't really engage with, can't really go to, at least for, you know, Republican members. Or some, you know, Republicans who are running for statewide office or office in a particular district.
Yeah,
that isn't the case. When I have the opportunity to go and talk to them about the city, about Milwaukee, my home, and everything that it brings to the state, it really, you know, starts to turn their attention and their eye to say, hey, I didn't really consider that about Milwaukee. I mean, what happens here, and this is, you know, part of the reason why I take this job so seriously, is that whatever happens in Milwaukee has an impact on the rest of the state. The decisions that we make in the city, the decisions that I make from behind the desk where I'm sitting at right now, can have a statewide impact. As goes Milwaukee, so goes the state of Wisconsin. And a stronger Milwaukee means a stronger Wisconsin. Anyway, that's good for the city and the people who live here, certainly, but that's good for other communities around the state of Wisconsin too. I mean, just think about, you know, tourism, like I was just talking about, right? When people come to this city and they spend money, and Milwaukee is the place where 1 in 4 visitors to the state of Wisconsin, they interface with the state by coming here for some event here, whether it's Bucks, whether it's Brewers, whether it's our incredible dining scene, whether they're taking away one of those cruises that we're just talking about, you know, any of those things. They spend dollars, and when they spend those dollars, they're taxed, and those taxes go into the shared revenue pot. And when more people come and spend dollars in Milwaukee, that's more revenue that goes to other communities all across the state. So what happens here has a profound effect on the rest of the state of Wisconsin.
I don't disagree with you at all. I mean, living in Milwaukee, running, producing shows in the area, we would have comedians come in from all over the country, all over the world. And I guarantee you at least a few times a month, they would walk in on a Saturday evening and they go, I had no idea that Milwaukee was so amazing. I had no idea there was so much to do, so much food, so much. And the other thing too is the expense of it all, because these are people who live in New York, Los Angeles, big expensive cities. They come here and they're like, I didn't know it was so cheap. I'm like, yes, it's a great city. It's an amazing state. And I always love having those conversations because their eyes light up because they went to a museum or they went to a ball game or they just walked around the city and saw people who were just Midwestern nice people. So It's a great conversation to have with them. I'm loving the conversation we're having right now. We're going to keep it going on the other side of the break. I want to talk to you on the other side about your job as the CEO of Milwaukee and how you represent your city on the world stage, as well as, you know, some of your favorite things you want us to know about Milwaukee, as well as, you know, just finally some hidden gems that you'd love for us to visit while we're there. But more with Mayor Cavalier Johnson after the break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach. Pete's out tonight. It's just me, Greg, and Dom in Madison. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to us on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned. Stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Turn my mic on there. Hey, welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach. My name is Greg Bach. We are Pete-less this evening, but don't worry, he'll be back on Monday. If you want to be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform. We still call Twitter. That was celebrating the life and times of Mr. Neil Sedaka today. We lost him at the age of 86, one of the great singer-songwriters of this American world. Very happy you're here with us. We are talking to the mayor of Milwaukee, Cavalier Johnson. We were talking about his story, the accomplishments so far as far as being mayor of the most populous city in Wisconsin, what he sees that still needs to be done. And I worked for the mayor of Racine for about 6 years in a long lifetime ago. And something he always said to me was that I am the CEO of the city. It's my job to go out to the world and sell Milwaukee and get people interested in Milwaukee. On that idea, as the CEO, if you will, of Milwaukee, what do you do when you go out to, whether it's conferences outside the state or around the world? How do you get people excited about Milwaukee?
Well, I tell them about all the, well, actually, first, was the mayor you worked for, was it John Dicker, by chance?
It was. Yes, it was.
Love that guy. So here's a connection.
Okay, there.
So it's just, love John. Great, excellent leader, right, mayor. And yeah. So I was having a conversation in my office just a couple of weeks ago with John about this program that he's doing some work on called Fork Farms, where we're growing in partnership with Rockwell Automation. They are growing like green leafy vegetables at that site in the city, like 200,000 pounds per year that they'll be able to produce and get that off to, schools and hospitals, and they'll be like locally sourced and, healthy and like all this stuff, no pesticides, all those things. So it's like innovative things like that, the Camp Rise program that I mentioned before. And so I was just off at a conference. You mentioned conferences and selling Milwaukee. I was just off at a conference in Los Angeles. I'm a member of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, and I pitched this program, this Fork Farms program that we're doing here in Milwaukee. And we're going to have a further conversation on it. I'll be presenting on it along probably with John and others this summer at our next U.S. Conference of Mayors, selling Milwaukee and some of the innovative things that we're doing here. And after some of these conversations, other cities across the country are looking to Milwaukee and saying, hey, like, what are they doing there? Like, that's a really cool, really interesting thing. That's something that we think might be able to work in our city as well. So it's things like that we do in order to put Milwaukee's best foot forward.
And as Milwaukee grows, we're seeing more development. We're seeing, you said the investment from Northwestern Mutual. How do you foster growth in Milwaukee while still retaining that blue collar Wisconsin charm for those who've lived there for a long time, but also attracting people to come live here? But, I imagine it's a delicate balancing act, because you want growth, but you want people to be able to live there and thrive and have a family and grow something, grow roots within that city. What are the steps you take to walk that balancing act?
Yeah, I'll give you a great example. And recent examples that happen, that are happening right now, presently. So just earlier today, I joined with our Department of City Development that's been leading this initiative that I've been calling Homes MKE. And what we've been doing is taking city-owned properties that had come into our possession via tax foreclosure. We took monies given to us by the Biden administration when Joe Biden was president, American Rescue Plan Act dollars, and we infused those dollars via local emerging developers, usually small developers of colors with their firms. They fix these properties up and they sell them at affordable rates to people who would be new homeowners, stabilizing our neighborhoods, right? So we're making sure that people who stay in Milwaukee right now have the opportunity to remain residents of Milwaukee.
Yes.
And then just right down the street, so that was out in the neighborhoods. And then right down the street from where I am in my office downtown in City Hall, there's a office building, 35 stories, that we are working to convert over into residential housing, workforce housing. And so what we're doing here is saying, you know, when new people come to Milwaukee, especially young young workers, young professionals, they will have the opportunity to live in the city of Milwaukee and do so at a rate that's more affordable. Because we've all seen this, right? I mean, I've experienced this. You're a young professional. You get that first, you know, good job. You know, you make $1 above, some rate or whatnot. And then they think you're all good. Yeah, you don't need anything else. That's just not the case. And so we're working to make sure that that Milwaukee is a place that everybody can call home, whether it's the longtime resident who's looking for their first homeownership opportunity in the neighborhood, or it's a young professional who has moved here for college. They ended up graduating, getting a good job, and wanting to stay in Milwaukee too. In fact, this year, 2026, I've declared to be the year of housing. So we're looking at all the programs that we have on housing. How can we talk about those, make more people aware of those things so that people can call Milwaukee home?
Well, we only have a little bit less, about 60 seconds or so. So I'm just going to ask you really quick, what are you excited about for Milwaukee in 2026?
I just talked about it. Year of housing, man. It's going to be a really, really incredible year for housing in the city.
Okay, excellent. Then I will ask one. I got one more. Any hidden gems? Anything that anyone who wants to visit Milwaukee, you say you have to go to this place.
Like you got it. We have some amazing food in Milwaukee, so you got to experience the restaurants here. You can attest to that, Greg.
Absolutely.
If you have not been here, you got to check out our lakefront. Like many people, if you can see across the other side to Michigan, you can't. It is like an inland ocean. It is really a sight to behold.
Absolutely. I'm a fan of Atwood Park. I feel like when you go to Atwood Park, you feel like you're in a different part of the globe. Mayor Cavalier Johnson has been our guest this evening. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your time, sir. Please come on back. Let us know about the good things in Milwaukee, and we'll continue the conversation then.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Don.
All right. When we come back, we're talking to Dr. Richard C. Keller from UW-Madison about environmental policies and how they're affecting both Wisconsin, you, and the country. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned. Stay close.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.